Nice to be back in Tavistock again. Always enjoy coming here. Turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 15, if you will. Whilst you're doing that, I'm going to plug the CTFM. The Committing to Faithful Men conference is the 19th and 20th of January, as Matt's already said. And really would ask you folks to pray for that. It's a great opportunity to get young men together and deal with specific topics and seek to be an encouragement. So the idea is to prepare young men or help to prepare young men for service within their assembly and outside of their assembly. And you may have noticed that some of us are getting a little older, and I speak at an old people's place twice a month in Guelph, and my wife reminds me that I am old. So, but the truth about the matter is that we really need some of the Lord's young men to be stepping up. So I'm delighted that that Matt's here this evening. At the Committee to Faithful Men, we are dealing with specific topics. Gary McBride did an absolutely excellent job on predestination and election and so forth and so on. It was just a very, very good job. And then this next time, we're going to be dealing with subjects like, are the sign gifts for today? And we're asking questions. Do we need tongues? Do we need word of knowledge? Do we need these other things? Do we need those things? I was sitting around a table a while back at our Christmas banquet in Guelph, and I just made a comment about the cessation of tongues. And this lady got quite upset. She said, no, she said, I know her woman, and off they go. They know someone, and so it goes on, and that's how it is. And I pointed out we go from truth to experience, not experience to truth. And so we'll be looking at that subject. We'll be looking at is the Holy Spirit God? Well, Jehovah's Witnesses say no, and Mormons say no, Islam says no. But what does the Bible say? What about the Trinity? Can you prove that? Can you prove that from the Scriptures? The actual words are not there, so is it in the Scriptures? And then we'll be talking also about what does it mean to be baptized with the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, or of the Spirit? What does that mean? Where do these things fit in? And the reason for this is because we need to be grounded in these truths, not hung up on them, but we need to be moving forward. I recall the writer of the Hebrews talks about moving forward, and he says, this we will do if God permits. And he said, you need to leave some of these basic things. We need to have them established in our minds. And what happens there is that we had about 40 people there both times, and just a good time of fellowship. Opportunity to spend time, sit around talking and stuff. The only problem is, and I must commend the elders at Tavistock, that they really sort of took the bull by the horns last time and contributed heavily to the cost for the men from here. But we really want the assemblies to get behind us because Guelph is an ideal place, but it's a bit expensive, $100 or $110. We who take part don't take any expenses. We don't take any money or anything like that. Don't charge anything. The alternative is to go to a church somewhere and fill it out, but that really doesn't work. So please pray for us that the other assemblies will get the same vision that these dear folks here have. Okay, thank you. That's it. That's the end of the advert. John's Gospel, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I just want to make a comment about that verse before we go any further. I have heard taught that when it says every branch bears fruit, it doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, means that he takes it away, destroys it, and all the rest of those kind of things. Well, the actual Greek word is a Greek word, aero, and it actually means that lifts up. And the picture here is of the vine dresser coming along and seeing a branch that is down in the mud, not producing any fruit, and he picks it up and he washes it off and causes it to bear fruit. So the truth is there that what God, the vine dresser, as it were, is doing with us, he's trying to get us to the place, bring us to the place where we bear fruit. And as we read down, you'll see it comes out fruit, more fruit and much fruit. And so verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's what I want to speak on today, is not I, but Christ. That phrase there, without me, you can do nothing. Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this written word of God that we can read, we can know and understand what God will say to us. We thank you, Lord, that those who are saved are indwelt by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you have a desire to teach our hearts, Lord, to equip us for ministry, to make us vessels that are fit for the Master's use. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you're the vine. We're simply branches. But Lord, we are branches who it is your desire that we would see fruit produced through. And so we pray, Lord, this morning that you would calm our hearts, quieten our hearts, and speak to us, Lord, and bring rest to our hearts and minds, and make us fit vessels for your use. In Christ's precious name and for his honor and glory alone, we ask this. Amen. In life's circumstances, we all face difficult things and different things. And sometimes they're more difficult than others. I just had a trip to Arizona recently, and I went down there for Thanksgiving, as I do every year, to see my son. And it was going to be an interesting time, because there is a great deal of spiritual need down there. I have one family member who's not walking with the Lord, his wife who's not saved, kids who are various stages of disrepair, and one who is the day before I came home, was taken to a drug rehabilitation center, a Christian one. And various friends gathered around, and I went there in the situation of knowing that I couldn't go down there and start giving three-point sermons and messages and so forth and so on. And so I went down there with the idea, Lord, whatever happens, it's going to have to be you. So I said nothing the whole time I was there. Well, there was a time when they gave thanks for things at the Thanksgiving supper, and so I shared a bit of testimony then and so forth and so on. But it was very interesting to see what the Lord did despite me saying nothing. And that's a good lesson for us to learn. It doesn't all depend on us to say things. And it was very interesting for me to see what the Lord did during that time. Not least through opportunities to witness. I was amazed all the way along how the Lord just kept opening up ways to witness. And one particular instance came to mind on the way back. The plane was full, and I was sitting in an aisle seat, and there was a young lady, probably 25, 26, sitting in the middle, and I walked up, being a kind of a slight person. I walked up and loomed over her, and I said, "You want the good news or the bad news?" And she said, "Bad news. I said, bad news, I'm going to sit there. And she said, oh, come sit down, she said. And she's patting me on the arm. And then when I got sat down, she laid on my shoulder and she said, I might even go to sleep. And I think, great. Anyway, turns out that she was a lovely girl from Stouffville. And we talked most of the time. And I shared the gospel with her, and she was really, really interested. And I've got a Christmas card that I developed with the gospel on, and my name is inside. And I said, look, I don't ask for people's details, but I said, that's me, and I live in Guelph. So you have any more questions? She said, yes. She said, I'd like to hear more. And then she said, maybe we'll meet again. Maybe at Markham, because I told her I'd speak at Markham. She lives just down the road. So who knows? But I'm just always amazed that when you go and you allow the Lord to do it, it's amazing what He can do. Now, we're coming up to Christmas. And I realize it's a season of goodwill and peace on earth and joy and all of those kind of things. But the truth about the matter is that it's often a time of real tension amongst families. Because families of all kinds of ideas and thoughts get together, and up goes the tension. And oftentimes it's nothing more than World War III. And it's a sad thing. And we are all going to be going into situations of greater or lesser strain. And the thing is, how do we approach that? What can we do if we know that this Christmas we'll be meeting again, and there's Uncle Bill and Aunt Nellie or whatever her name is, and her family and her obnoxious kids and all the rest of this kind of stuff. What do we do? How do we act? Should we go there planned with a 3-point message? Should we go there with the 4 spiritual laws? You know, should we go there just ready to say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't. How should we handle things? Well, I don't know. But one thing I do know is this, that when we're vessels that the Lord can use, He knows. And it's amazing what He can do when we simply allow Him to live His life through us. And I want to just share with you one or two verses here that I think might help us with this. It's a life truth that took me a lot of years to discover, because I was always a go-get, do, instead of the Lord. If I'd have read John 15 a bit earlier and paid attention, I'd have perhaps concentrated a bit more on this. Without me, you can do nothing. And I actually heard it spoken on and taught on my early days with New Tribes Mission. They majored on that. Without me, you can do nothing. And I heard the words, but they didn't sink in very deep. It took the Lord a while for me to really catch on. What are you saying here? One of the great missing truths amongst Christians is this fact. The fact that Christ Himself is the very life of the believer. Christ Himself, it's His life. It's not, what would Jesus do, and that's what I'm going to do. It's Him living His life in and through us. And it's not, as so many, a continuous round of exhausting self-effort. Now, I know this, that there are a lot of believers, and they are absolutely exhausted. Constantly trying, constantly striving, constantly trying to make up, trying to get there, trying to please, trying to be accepted, all of these kind of things. When the gospel and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is about rest in Him. It's about rest in Him. It's about, without me, you can do nothing. A few weeks ago, I had a call, as I said, I get to speak at this senior's place a couple of times a month, and I got a call from one of the ladies in there, and she said that one of the other ladies had been to visit her husband, who was in Guelph Hospital, and he has COPD, which is a very unpleasant lung problem. And as she talked to him, he was very troubled, concerned, and she said, do you want to see a minister? And he said he did. Well, beggars can't be choosers, so they got me. And so I went along there, and I'd never met this man before. Turns out he was an Englishman from Cornwall in England. And I went in there, and he's not in good shape. He's coughing, and he's got blood on his handkerchief, and it's just a bad situation. And he said, well, I didn't expect you this soon, but this is a serious situation. So we got talking, and he said to me, and I just want to re-emphasize what I'm trying to say here. I went there, I didn't know the man. I didn't know what he was going to say. I didn't know what I was going to say. I went, okay, Lord, whatever. It's got to be, Lord, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to lead and direct in this. And so I went in there and got talking to this man whose name was Frank. And all of a sudden he said, what concerns me is how do we know the miracles in the Bible that Jesus and those did are true? How do we know that? So do you know what I said? I don't know. I said, I don't know. I said, I wasn't there. Now, you may think that's a strange answer, but it's true, I wasn't. I believe it was because I believe the word and I have good reason to believe it was true, but I wasn't there. So I said to this man, I said, you know what, but what we have to do is we have to go with what we do know. And we do know that 353 prophecies from the Old Testament came true in the New Testament with Christ's birth, life, death, etc. We know that much. And we can prove that with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that seemed to calm him down. And as we talked somewhere along the line, and I don't even remember saying it, but somewhere along the line, I talked about this, about Christ's sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit, who is the one who's in the soul winning business, by the way, the Holy Spirit did a work in his heart right about then. I went back 2 days later. I'd already found out that he told his wife he has peace of heart and mind. And I went back a couple of days later, and Frank had been saved. And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, here I get a phone call about someone I don't know. I know nothing about him, etc., 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 etc. But all I go is, okay, Lord, it's up to you. And this man now is saved, and he's going to heaven. And I've already visited him a few times. He's now in golden years in Cambridge, which I thought would be better called rusty years. But anyway. He's saved, and he's evidently saved. How? Why? Because Slick Ray Jones went along? No. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who's in the soul winning business. He is the one who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he is the one who, and the only one who can work through you and through me if we allow him. But it's about resting in him and allowing him. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine. You're the branches. And you know what that looks like? Grapevine. Here's the vine. This is where all the source of everything comes through. The branches is just where the sap flows through and the end product is supposed to be fruit. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And so it's simply a matter in the analogy of staying connected with Christ, abiding in him, walking in fellowship with him, staying attached to the vine, as it were. It's not about salvation. He says, you are clean through the word I've spoken unto you. Judas had already left. This is talking about believers. It's talking about walking in fellowship with him. And in whatever circumstance that you face as we go along, it's going to be as we abide in Christ, as we simply walk in fellowship with him, as we simply allow him to work in and through our lives. And the wonderful thing to me that is that I look at you, all of you here this morning, and I'm telling you this, every single one of us can be vessels that the Master can use. The very life of Christ can and should and ought to be seen in and through each and every one of us. And can be too. You see, the Lord is the very source of life. We are merely and only conduits. Any and all fruit is totally dependent on A, the source and the substance, and B, the presence and the purity of the conduit. Any fruit is only going to come through the source and the substance of the source, or it's going to come through as well the presence and the purity of the conduit. In other words, you've got a vine, and there's nothing wrong with the vine, and there's nothing wrong with the fruit producing sap that comes through it. But what's the condition of the branch? What's the condition of the conduit? If it's laying down in the mud and it's not getting any breathing or anything like that, something has to be done. And that's why a vine dresser comes along and picks it up and winds it around higher up and washes it off with water and so forth and so on. Of course, there's a very obvious picture there for us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. What a blessing to know that we can walk out of here today and simply be vessels that the Lord can use. That we can approach some of those difficult Christmas situations without feeling that we've got to do anything except walk with the Lord and be obedient to Him. What an amazing thing that is. And then we will definitely see fruit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, if you'd like to turn to there for a second or two. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24. It's amazing how we miss some of these tiny little phrases. Very short verse. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. So he does the calling and he does the doing. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. Well, that's an amazing thing. It's like saying, okay, now, a lot of us are afraid of witnessing. A lot of us get very scared when it comes to sharing the gospel or anything like that. And we're not always, some people are more outgoing than others. I'm kind of a retired, shrinking kind of a violet, but some of you are not. But you know, it's amazing, how the Lord said, okay, I've called you for a particular ministry or particular service. And you think, can't do that. Yeah, but he said, look, he said, I'll do it. I'm calling you and I'll do it. So whatever he has for you, he will do it. He will do it. So whatever circumstance you face in life, you can see that he's going to do it. I remember one time I got a call in the evening, about 8:30. And I got a call and this 21-year-old girl, her husband had been crushed to death in an accident in town up there in Durham. And so they got a call, Ray, will you come? Well, have you ever had that kind of a call? I'm sure Jim and some of others have. That's tough stuff. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What can you hope to say in a situation like that? I had another call where a man had backed over his 3.5-year-old daughter with a tractor and killed her. Ray, will you come? Well, what are you going to say? What are you going to do in a situation like that? There's no use going with slick ideas. And so I just went. I went to the one where the man had been killed at 12 o'clock at night. We sat around the kitchen table, or the dining room table, I can't remember which it was now. And I was sharing the gospel with the whole family midnight that same day. That's how the Lord worked it out and opened it up. And I'm still friends with that woman now. She lives in Kitchen. I haven't seen her for years and years and years, but we're sort of friends on Facebook. I went to the house where this little 3.5-year-old baby had been killed. And the parents were sitting on the couch down in the basement. And I went down and, what do you say? What can you do? Well, I just started to talk and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that little baby is with the Lord. He's in heaven with the Lord, safe with the Lord. That's what I very, very firmly believe. And in the process, I began to quote John 3:16, and the guy picked it up and quoted it with me. But what do we have here? And I said, you must have gone to Sunday school sometime. He said, yes. And to Sunday school in the Baptist church in Owen Sound. You never know how much seed has been planted already, or what the Lord's done already, or what the Lord wants you to do in your little part of it. You don't know. But you do know this, that when you're the vessel that he can use, you'll be amazed what he can do and what he will do. You see, he says, faithful is he who calls you. Faithful. And he'll do it. He'll do it. The one who called you to a life of righteousness is the one who lives that righteous life through you. The one who calls you to minister to the needs of humanity is the one who ministers to the needs of humanity through you. The one who calls you into a world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is the one who goes into all the world and preaches the gospel to every creature through you. I wish that we could believe that. And I wish we would believe that. I was in West Virginia speaking a few weeks ago. And I had 4 flights. And I was amazed. And what I do is I just go and just, okay, Lord, whatever you got is good. And I sat waiting for the first, well, no, I don't know which plane it was, one of the planes anyway. Second plane. And you know, they have the seats facing each other, you know, when you're sitting there waiting. And here's a man, and he's obviously scared to death, obviously. He's shaking, and he's looking really, really nervous. So I waited a while, and then I said, great day for flying. I don't think he thought it was a great day for flying. Just an ordinary comment, and he made a comment, and we just talked. And the talking was across the aisle, and as we walked to the plane, and I can't remember all I said, but just before he stepped on the plane, he turned around and he said something like, you're a good person to talk to. Well, why? I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has done or will do through odd words or something that I said. Can't remember what I said. But I do know this, the opportunities abound all over the place. There are people that you're going to be with at Christmas time who are going to be so excited for weeks and weeks beforehand. And it'll get to just after lunch on Christmas Day, and all of a sudden it's over. And all of a sudden the disappointment and the angst and the anger and the families and all of those kind of things. Because if you don't have the joy of the Lord, the real joy that doesn't fade away, I'm afraid it doesn't last much past Christmas afternoon. But I'll tell you what, if you're a vessel, if you have the joy of the Lord within you and the life of Christ in you, it's His life that will be seen, and only His life. That's a wonderful thing. Faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, please, if you will. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says this. And by the way, this is either true or it's not true. We have to read these and we have to say, is this true? Does this apply to me or not? Is this, or are they just verses? Can I read this and say, okay, all I am is just a branch. But if I walk with Him and abide with Him, then somehow there's going to be fruit produced. Can I say that? I can, because I've proved it to be true. I can't take any glory for it, because it only happens when Lord is not about me. It's just whatever you do. Can I say, faithful is He who calls, who will also do it? Yeah, I can. I've been saved 60 years. I've been serving the Lord for over 40 years. And I'm constantly amazed at what he's done and what he does. And it's all to His honor and glory. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says this, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The one in whom we trust is not a guide outside, but a guide within us. It's not some outside source. He's a guide within us. The one whom we trust is not a guide outside, but a guide within us. And He is the only one who can teach us if we're willing to be taught. But I tell you what, he's the one who is willing to teach us if we allow him. You know, there's not one situation here amongst believers this morning, not one situation where this cannot be a total change in life right today. Whatever the disappointments you've had over the years, or whichever way you think you've failed, if you have done whatever, if today you will understand that anything of any spiritual value will be done in and through us by him and his life, you can just step back and rest and say, okay, Lord, it's got to be you. And you can allow him to use your life and bring you joy and peace and happiness at the same time by resting in him. You can allow him to do that, and you'll be amazed what he does. The only problem is that you don't get any glory for it. That's tough. But you know what? What a wonderful thing. Okay, Lord. You know. So this old guy, Frankie, he's now in golden years in Cambridge, and I pop in to see him. I tell you, he's there. He's saved. He's going to heaven. He keeps reading Psalm 23. I shared that with him, and he said, "I need a plaque to put on the wall." I went looking for one. I couldn't find one, so I made one and took for him to put on the wall. And he'd been reading that. He'd been reading that psalm. You know, why you look at him and I think, well, why, how? Because of what the Lord did and what the Lord does and what he can do. He is the one, he's not one whom we have to persuade to help us against his will, but the one who is already willing to do because it's of his good pleasure. So you got those three verses there. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me bears fruit. Without me you can do nothing. You've got the faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. You've got, for God, it is God which works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. There's lots and lots more. There's a principle here of God struggling with man. Remember Jacob? Yeah, Jacob. Conniving, conniving individual. What a guy. What did God have to do with him? He had to weaken what is said to be the strongest muscle in the human body. So he touched his thigh. Apparently, you medical people, if there's any here, will know that. Apparently, that's the strongest muscle in the human body. So instead of being get up and go Jacob in all his conniving ways, here he's limping. God had to weaken him. Paul was a very intellectual, brilliant man. And yet the Lord had to allow him to develop what I believe was an eye weakness. And Paul pleaded with him, Lord, take this away, take this away. And eventually the Lord said, No. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And some of us have weaknesses that the Lord allows. Quite frankly, we can't be trusted not to have a weakness. We think, oh, poor me, I've got this and I've got that and I've got something else. Yeah, but I'm afraid that sometimes the Lord has to allow that to be the case, because we're never going to be of any use unless we do have something we've got to really deal with. Something that's like an anchor to us. I wish it was this. I know for myself. I said, Lord, I don't want this. Can you give me something different? This I don't like. This is okay. You know, give me something different, you know. No, the Lord is the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's the one who works individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the uniqueness. Idios, the Greek word idios, means uniquely. Each one of us uniquely, as he wills. The Spirit of God places this in the body uniquely, as he wills. I remember when I set off to the United States. Seems like a long time ago, 42 years ago. I got on a plane, I got claustrophobia. Can you imagine? Claustrophobia. And I went through about 6 years of struggling with the problem of claustrophobia. anxiety attacks because of this thing. And the Lord had to really do a work in my life through that. Because quite frankly, I was a pain in the neck. I was a proud, arrogant individual. And go to the mission field, sure, no problem. Just off you go. And the Lord, no. I've got some things to do in your life before you're of any use at all. And the Lord had to do a work in my life. I mean, I love flying now, etc., etc. But the Lord had to do a work in my life. And I hated it. I hated it. I would have rather have had a broken leg or a broken arm or something like that. But an emotional weakness, are you kidding? I hated that. Me, can you imagine me having an emotional weakness? Yep, well I did. So, and in fact, in studying these things, I've discovered that there are 700 known phobias that people have irrational fears about. 700. And I'm quite sure that I'm talking to some people here today, because I know that's how it is. Sometimes, not only is that something the enemy uses, because he specializes in fear, that's why the Bible says fear not 365 times, once for every day, but also the Lord, his strength is made perfect in weakness. So, Lord, it's up to you. The amazing truth here is that the Lord can live his life through us. Listen, this is precious and priceless. The Lord can live his life through us in the same way that he lived his life through his own human body. I'm going to read that again. The amazing truth is that the Lord can live his life through us in the same way that he lived his life through his own human body. So get the picture here. The Lord took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself a human form with all its weaknesses and so forth and so on without sin. And Christ lived his divine life through that human body. And what Christ wants to do today is to live his life through your human body. John 5 verse 19 says this, then Jesus answered and then said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Wow. The Son of God, God the Son, took upon himself the form of a servant and committed himself to his heavenly Father and said, Lord, you have to do it. God, you have to do it. John 8 verse 28 says this, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who has sent is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. This is God the Son, Jesus living as a man, living in total submission and obedience to his Father. You know what he asks us to do? Same thing. Same thing. Got to be you, Lord. Got to be you, Lord. So whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, and I see two precious brethren here in wheelchairs today. I see others with different ailments and struggles and stuff like that. Hey, guess what? Christ can live his life through you in exactly the same way that he can any of us, others of us. This is what the Word of God teaches. A human body, listen to this, a human body through whom the divine life flowed. Have you ever thought about that? That the divine life flowing through you personally. People say, well, I don't want to talk about that. It sounds proud. Well, you have to deal with the pride. You have to deal with the pride. There's nothing to be proud about because it's not you, it's him. It's not me, it's him. It's a case of saying, it's really a case of, as Romans teaches, dying to self. We are crucified with Christ. They're dead, buried, risen to newness of life. It's got to be his life. And you know how he describes the life of Christ? Galatians chapter 5. He describes what the flesh looks like, and then he describes what the fruit of the Spirit is. love, joy, peace, long suffering, and so forth and so on. It's a human body through whom the divine life flows. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 says this, that he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How much more obedient can you be than just allow yourself to be taken down, and to be crucified? That's the answer, dying to self. Dying to all we are. This is the supreme example that we're to follow. But it's not us doing what Jesus would do. But it's us allowing the very life of Christ to be lived in and through us. What a privilege. What a potential. What a joy. What a rest. See, I used this illustration to start off with, going down to Arizona. You think my heart is not burdened for my son and his family? And I have one time a year when I spend time with them. You think I don't want to just sit down and say, okay, look, I've got to get this sorted out. I might not be here next year. We've got to do this. And the Lord said, no. Got to be him. And I believe this way, that my youngest grandson down there, through spending time with us for those two or three days, it was a very, very, very good time. We played games together, we ate together and so forth and so on. I think it had such an impact on him that eventually he came to the end of himself and he said he needs help, and he's now hopefully getting help. Listen, the Lord did that which we are called to do. The Lord did that which we are called to do, and that is to be a willing vehicle of the divine presence, allowing the divine life to be expressed through us. He said it again. The Lord did that which we are called to do, and that is to be a willing vehicle of the divine presence, allowing the divine life to be expressed in and through us. John 17, verse 19. The Lord said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. The Father set him apart and sent him in order that we, and the Greek way of putting this, is that we may remain sanctified to continue his work. Okay? The Father set the Son aside, sanctified him, sent him, in order that we may, and the word is sanctified, but actually in the Greek it means this, that we may remain sanctified to continue his work. Here's the picture of the true Christian life. And I want you to listen to this, because this is the truth. And we have to ask ourselves, okay, how applicable is it in my life? And some of you may have to agree that it's not applicable at all. You may have to say, you know, my wife is seeing too much of me, and too much, or my husband, or my family, and you may have to examine things. Ask yourself, what is the world seeing? What are people seeing? Well, what they saw with the Lord Jesus Christ was the divine life. There was something different. Even when they came to capture him in the garden there, they saw him, and the soldiers fell back. Well, why? There was something different there. There's something different about this man. And it was the divine life in and through him. And he came and he lived his life in the form of a man, totally empty of sin. And he came for the express purpose of dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. God set him apart for that purpose. In order that we who are saved may remain sanctified. In other words, that we will carry on the same work. In other words, the divine life in and through our human frame. What a joy, what a privilege, what a place of rest. I don't have to live the Christian life. I don't have to force myself to be this, be that, be something else. Okay, Lord, whatever. Lord, you do it. And so you fly, and you've got four flights, and you go, okay, Lord. And guess what? One after the other, the Lord just keeps on opening up people to talk and so forth and so on. And then oftentimes it's those people who speak first. Why? How does that work? Because the Holy Spirit is still in the soul winning business. You folks are going to be approaching this Christmas season, and hope it's not the case with most of you, but some of you will be facing very difficult circumstances. Not only just there, but in other life circumstances too. I tell you one thing, folks. If you take this principle, you'll see God do a work in and through you to His glory. You remember this, that He is the vine. You are the branches. Without Him, you can do nothing. God and Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the rest that it brings us. Lord, we thank you that for real good reason, one day we shall cast our crowns at your feet, recognizing that anything and all of any spiritual value will because of the very life of Christ, sacrificed on that cross and lived through us. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.